I love this church. Small but mighty. And God does not overlook your good deeds that you do in Him. Be they going to a neighbor's house, sending relief all the way around the world. Let's pray and get into the text. Lord, we thank you that you have used us in some very small way to reach the lives of others in our neighborhoods, in our community, around the world. God, it's our desire, it's the desire of our heart. To be your hands and feet. To share the love of God as you have poured it into us, may it overflow out of us to others. And we will be sure to give you all the praise, for you are great and you are good. You are glorious and you are gracious. We pray all this in your name. Amen. So let's get into the word. It's going to be very short because I want to save some time at the end of the service to pray for Ukraine. And so it's 1 Timothy 3:1-13. You can all read, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. It just tells us about the church in Ephesus and the leaders of the church and who those leaders should be. So I don't have the clicker, so I am relying upon you guys to just change the slide whenever you feel like it, and I'll just catch up. So the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus, Paul had planted the church. Paul had started the church. He ministered there for over 3 years. And then he left and went on to other missionary tasks that he was about. But he always loved the church at Ephesus and prayed for them. As he was going back on his final trip to Jerusalem, he didn't want to stop in Ephesus because he knew he would end up being there a long time. So in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, in chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "From Miletus, he," that would be Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church." And he's calling them to give them a final farewell, a final encouragement, exhortation. But you come down to verse 28, and it says to these elders of the church of Ephesus, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So in his last message, his last word to the church, he said, look, there's going to be guys that come among you causing trouble. Ravenous wolves, he calls them, but people who lead people astray, people who teach false doctrine. And that's why he sends Timothy to Ephesus to say, go in and clean up this mess. Because those guys are there now. Those guys are in Ephesus, and we need to get the church straightened out. We need to get those guys out of here and bring in godly leaders. And so we come to chapter 3, and it's there that we see the qualifications and the types of leaders Paul wants to be in the church. Not people who are after a sordid gain of their own, not people who are after fame and fortune, but people who want to be overseers and shepherds of the flock. So there's two offices in the church. Ta-da! We're going to talk about the offices, the office servers, and the reward for those office servers. So the offices of the church, there's two. There's overseers. that is called here in chapter 3, overseers or shepherds or elders. These are the leaders of the church, the elders of the church. And their job is to guard and care for the flock. Back in Acts 27, 28, again, he said, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for we were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Speaking of Jesus as our shepherd and guardian, the head shepherd, the lead of the church, the head of the church, to which we all should follow. Therefore, verse Peter 5:1, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, a partaker of also of the glory that is to be revealed. And here he tells them, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So the first office is the office of elders, of overseers, of shepherds. Then the second one is deacons. In 1 Timothy 3:8, deacons likewise must be men of dignity. So there's deacons, there's elders and deacons. Deacons, and look at that word likewise. You got the other page there, right across where I printed out the text. Verse 8 says, deacons likewise should be like this. And then in verse 11, it says, women likewise should be like this. So it's talking about, this whole passage is talking about leadership in the church, and it mentions overseers, deacons, and women. Women deacons. So there were women deacons in the church. The word for women is gune. The Greeks didn't have a lot of words for women. They had one. Women. When it says be the husband of one wife, it says be the man of one woman. The only way they established, you could tell that what the word woman was about, whether it was about wives or just women in general, was by the fact that they would add a little extra to the front. So it'd say men should love their women. Men should be women should be attentive to their own husband. So this word here is gune, which just means women. And so it's talking about the office of deacon on that side of the page. And it just says men and women can be deacons. And that's the way it was in the early church. Romans 6:1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. That word servant is the word deacon. Deacon means servant. So God calls all of us, all of the deacons, to be servants. And here's Phoebe, who's a woman, who's a servant of the church in Cenchrea, or who's a deacon of the church, which is in Cenchrea. That same chapter, chapter 16 and verse 3, mentions Prissa or Priscilla and Aquila. She's a woman. Priscilla's a woman who's active and serving in the church. Down in verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. And verse 12, greet these guys need easier names to pronounce. Greet Tryphenia and Tryphosa, workers of the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. All of these are women working in the church, women serving along beside the men as deacons of the church, serving the people as servants. And that's the way it was in early church as well. There's an inscription on a grave outside of the Mount of Olives that says, to Sophia, the deacon, the second Phoebe. So Phoebe was a deacon. This Sophia in the early church, also a deacon. That's why in this relief, if you look real close, that's a woman serving in the church. So ladies, we love you. We look up to you. We thank you for your service. There's a reason you're called our better half. Because you make us better. Okay, so there's ladies, lady deacons. I don't think I need to belabor that too much farther. So men and women serving as elders. Men were serving as elders and overseers. Men and women serving as deacons in the church. Those are the only two offices we get. So pastors, guess what? Pastors are elders. It's not a separate position in the offices of the church. There's just the two, overseers and elders. Moving along. Okay, the office servers in the church. So the office servers in the church, first they need to have servants' hearts, and then they need to be above reproach. A servant's heart. Jesus called in Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Jesus called them all together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." As it said in 1 Peter 5, don't lord it over those allotted to your charge, but prove to be examples to the flock. So the heart of a servant, the heart of an elder, the heart of a deacon should be service to one another, service to others. And then be above reproach. If you look back at the text, I'm not going to go through every one of these qualifications or things, because you can read and you know, it just says don't get drunk. A lot of times. But in verse 2, verse 7, and verse 10, it says they are supposed to be above reproach. We should have leaders who can't be blamed for anything, who can't be pointed at and said, oh, look at him, he's doing that, or oh, look at her, she's doing that, or oh, look at them, they're doing that. We should be above reproach in every way. Acts 6:3, where they picked out the first batch of deacons, says, "Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." And so all of those things that are mentioned here, both for elders and for deacons, are things that we should be above reproach in. We shouldn't be out getting drunk. We shouldn't be out lording it over people. We shouldn't be out having more than one wife. We should be. Those should be things that are above reproach. And then in verse 9, it says, "But holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience." So read through those things that once we're gone, once you're home, the list of things there. But the important thing is, and if you do read through the list, every quality of an elder and a deacon is mentioned somewhere else about us. Everybody, every Christian, every follower of Christ is called to do these very same things. You can't say, "I'm not an elder, I'm not a deacon, I can go out and get drunk. I'm not an elder, I'm not a deacon, I'm going to go get me another wife." You can't say that. Everything that's mentioned here is mentioned in other passages about us as individual followers, as us as believers. So that also means that every one of you is qualified to be an elder or a deacon. That applies to all of us. And so the last thing, the reward of the faithful servant. First it says that they must have served well. If you look at verse 13, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." First, they have to have served well. No, all of us should serve well. We shouldn't do it half-heartedly. We shouldn't do it under compulsion, it says. We should do it voluntarily, out of the depths of our heart, as service to others, and serve well as deacons. And we get two things. We get two rewards. And, you know, God rewards people. Those who come to the Lord must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who please him. So what's the reward? The rewards are twofold. One is high standing. One is, you know, you're going to, if you serve well and you're doing good, people are going to notice and people are going to look up to you and people are going to see that example that you're setting. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work." And later in verse 17, it says, "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." So you can send your double honor to me, Gary Kiker, care of Magnolia Baptist Church. But we should hold them in high standing. We should give them their due. We should honor and respect them for their service to us as the body of Christ. And the second one is great confidence in the faith. And I can attest to this one, that the internal reward of serving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and even though you stumble and fumble and mess up and get old, there is great confidence that serving God gives to us. The more we serve, the more we follow him, the more we grow in him, the greater confidence we have in our faith. 2 Timothy 1:12, in the second book that Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "For this reason, I also suffered these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." I'm sorry, I'm quoting the song, not the verse. "I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." The confidence that Paul had that his life was in Christ and that he would stand before the throne of God confidently, knowing that he had served the Lord well and that salvation was in him alone, that he could entrust himself to God. That is great confidence in the faith. Not worry, not care, not shame, not anything else, but great confidence in the Word. That's it. Go home and read it again. But I wanted to save some time at the end of the service for us to pray. We all hopefully know what's going on in the world, in Ukraine, the conflict going on there. So I'm going to have the elders come up, since we just talked about them. I'm going to make them work. Have the elders come up, and together as a congregation, we're going to spend some time in prayer for everything going on in that situation. I guess we could go up there, since there's a mic, and you could get heard. We have more elders than this, but many of them are away. A couple of them are away. But as we come up, just going to ask. Just going to ask these guys to lead us in prayer, and then I'll close.
Heavenly Father, our hearts and minds go out to those that are in Ukraine right now, Lord. We pray your protection and your guidance. We pray for the Christians there that they would be a voice for you, for a voice for reason. My heart is actually on the Russian soldiers right now, Lord, that your spirit would walk among them, convict them of evil, convict their officers, their commanders, Lord. Many know you, many have heard of you, maybe from their parents or grandparents. Lord, I just pray that words that they have heard, spoken, words that come through the Spirit would speak to their hearts now, that you would restrain them from evil. In thy precious name, Amen.
Heavenly Father, these are the words of your holy scriptures. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous, for the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. Arise, O Lord, do not let men prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forgot God, for the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Heavenly Father, as I read Psalms this week, the war in Ukraine broke out as I was reading these very Psalms, and I was reminded, Lord, that you hate evil, and yet there's evil in the world, and you recognize it, and you will move against it, and you will hold each individual accountable for their faith and for their actions in this life. Lord, we pray for your judgment. We pray for your power to be exerted. We pray for the faithful in these countries, in both countries, on both sides of the conflict, people who love you and have devoted their lives to serving you. We pray that your Holy Spirit will catch fire and create a change. We pray for the world leaders. We pray for Vladimir Putin and everyone who is working with him. We pray that you will capture his heart in a way that is miraculous and inexplicable, and that the world will be in shock and awe and wonder at your goodness. Protect the families. Protect the fathers who are being separated from their wives and children. Protect the lives. Lord, may your power be exerted and may your name be honored.
Father God, for the missionaries that you have called to Ukraine, Lord, those that have decided to stay there, Lord, to continue to shepherd their flocks there, Lord, may you strengthen them. Will you just give them peace in their decision to be there? Will you continue to let your light shine through them to the people of Ukraine, that they are interacting with God, that they may just be examples of your love to those around them, regardless of the circumstances that are happening to them.
Well, Lord, we thank you, God, for the fact that you know all the things that are going on, not just around us here, but every part of Ukraine, in Russia, and the nations surrounding those two nations. I pray right now, in particular, that you be with the believers in those places, that they might be able to be light and salt to those people that they come in contact with. Build their faith, help them to grow in you, help them to be able to stand firm in the gospel, to stand firm in the things that they know of Jesus Christ. Rhonda and I have thought about many friends that we have there from the English schools we taught, and I pray, God, that you'd be with those pastors that we met to help them minister to, bring relief to, and mobilize their congregations to help those folks who are fleeing other parts of the country. Be with them, help them to be provided for by sources outside the country, and be able to share the love of Christ with so many. We do also ask that I know there have been many missionary trips of people into Russia, that some of those soldiers that was prayed for before, Lord, have heard the gospel. I pray that they might see the evil that is being perpetrated upon Ukraine, and they might say, I have to do this because I'm ordered to, but I can't do it with my whole heart because I want to follow Christ. Work in their hearts too, Lord. Help them to see the light of the gospel in their lives. We pray that your Spirit would move upon Putin and help him to see that the more he does this, the more he's going to be looked at as somebody that will go down in infamy in history, not in any kind of good way. And help him to change his direction just because of his vanity and his pride, even, Lord, to change his direction. I pray, God, that you would just do the things that you are going to do to bring about the furtherance of the gospel in every place around the world as people watch and see immediately what's going on there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we come before your throne, for you are the almighty Lord and God of all creation. Every heart and mind is in your hand. You tell us that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. God, you can move mountains. You can make all things new. So God, in the midst of this new conflict, we pray that you would move, that you would move the minds of leaders to seek for peace, that you would move the hearts of the soldiers to serve in peace, that you would cause the nations of the world to rise up as one for the cause of peace and in love and kindness and mercy and grace to reach out to one another with the gospel of Jesus, with the love of Christ as our one and only goal in everything, that your name might be magnified, that you might be lifted high, that you would be honored as we bow before you. God, I do pray for the people of Ukraine, for those who are suffering such atrocities, that those who have lost homes, that those who are fleeing from the country, I pray for the women, the children, the old and the feeble, that you would guard them and protect them and show your kindness to them. God, for the leaders of the world, that you would give them wisdom and clarity of mind and thought to do the things that need to be done, to follow and practice the righteousness that you demand. God, we lift this all before you because you told us that we can cast every care upon you because you care for us. Lord, let us not be afraid. Let us not be worried. Let us cling to the confidently to the faith that you have given us, that we might stand in prayer, kneel in prayer before your mighty throne, knowing that you have all things in your hands, and that, as we say so often, you are great, you are good, you are glorious, and you are gracious. It's to you we pray and lift all our hearts in one accord through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everybody said, amen. Amen.